It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Good morning and welcome to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're coming to you live from Jethro FM, Country with a Twist. Conrad, always good to have you controlling the big board and making me sound good. Barbecue Bob is up in a tree somewhere. So I have my old standby, the Baritone of Beer. You all know him, Chaz Thompson. Chaz, thanks for sitting in, brother.
No worries, man. I'm getting ready for deer camp myself.
Yep, and Bob is just taking a little time to sit in a tree and contemplate life, I think, because he sent me a video this week of him passing up a 6-point that walked underneath him, very much in shooter's range and in a nice clear opening. But I think he's hunting for bigger horns,
hey,
or
like
some doe meat.
I mentioned it a couple of minutes ago. I got a world class 10 on the wall.
Right.
Unless I can outdo that.
Right.
Does. Let's go does and let those things grow another year.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, for you guys that need one to put on the wall, hey, great.
Yeah.
But I like the 10 and ups. To otherwise hit a doe, it's just meat in the freezer. And
right, it's a little better meat anyway,
little tenderer.
Yeah, and you don't have all that hormone rushing through them for the mating season like you do on the bucks, so that stuff can get a little strong if it's the right time or the wrong time of year, I guess it may be. But anyway, yeah, venison is venison. The more tender the better, right?
Meat in the freezer and being able to harvest your own, that's just a awesome thing we get to do here in Michigan, and our deer are good size.
Right. Yeah, you go south. I have a brother that lives in Texas, and he's out in the hill country, and the deer are like chickadees out there. I mean, they're everywhere. Not too many hunt him where he is. He's in kind of in a resort community, and but they're maybe a buck and a quarter. The big bucks.
Do they have a bag limit on them like we do rabbits?
Yeah, exactly.
My buddy Reese down in Florida says they're the size of German shepherds.
Yeah.
In Florida.
Yeah,
so
they're small. So we have these big corn-fed ones up here. You get a little bit west of here. You get out in Iowa and South Dakota, they're even bigger. But they're corn-fed out there, you know, an unlimited supply of food year-round pretty much. So it's weird how by region they're different.
I might
size.
Sneak out there to Iowa and get one of those.
Oh man, I've never shot one there, but I've been bird hunting and seen hundreds of them, and they're half again as big as ours. And I mean, I think hanging 300 is not, I mean, that's a big deer, but it's not like a record by any means. These are big deer. Saw one jump a barbed wire fence and took the first two strands of barbed wire as a five strand. First two strands on his chest just sent him spinning in the air, never even slowed him down. He was chasing a doe, and we kind of jumped him out of a brush pile, right? We were walking by, and it was like, holy cow, man. It didn't even, I mean, he just blew through a barbed wire fence.
Those things, when they're chasing a doe, man, they're like bulldozers.
Right.
They go through it. The one that hit my truck.
Yeah, exactly.
There you have it.
That blow up a truck in a hurry. So anyway, hey, we've got a little celebrating to do later today. All of us here in the studio, Chaz and I and Conrad, have a very good friend, that Polish Grill Catering, Laura Szczepanik, is turning 60. And
aww.
Yeah, so I want to celebrate her birthday. She is a great friend of the show and another professional in the catering business that has a very, very unique menu that just plays very well with everybody that's ever eaten it. And so we're treating her a little bit this weekend, and we're going to help her out with her birthday party. I'm going to bring over a few pans of pulled pork and some corn muffins.
Happy birthday, Laura. Yeah.
She decided she didn't want to be surprised like you.
Yeah, right.
So she passed out all of us an invitation.
Anybody that hands out shots for Halloween, you got to love her.
Right, yeah. And puts her address on Facebook so you can find her, right? I mean, that's awesome. That's awesome. But anyway, Laura, if you're listening, happy birthday from the Grilling Guys and all the rest. And
well, she's got to do her show today, too.
Right.
Polka Pops.
Right. So we'll be, later on today, we'll be celebrating her birthday with her. So it's cool. We're going to have a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it. But, Chaz, this is the time of year that I value a sharp knife, right? And you and I have talked knives before, but I had it's something I bought on the online, but it was called Wasabi and not the spice, but it's a knife sharpener, and it clamps to the bench. It's got a little rod that comes down on a diagonal. You put the stone on that rod, and then there's a clamp for the knife that rotates 180 degrees. I'm not saying it's the best knife sharpener I've ever had, but it's well-engineered.
I'll tell you, the one thing about sharpening a knife that a lot of people miss, it's all about the angle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the repetitions, you can stroke that thing 100 million times, but if you're at the wrong angle or you vary your angle,
right,
it's not going to do it.
And that's why this little machine that I bought, I mean, I don't know, it was like $49.95. It came with four different stones from soft to hard. You know, if you're taking a big nick out of a blade, you need a softer one. If you're if you're taking a big nick out of the blade, you need the hard one, right, to move the metal. And then the soft ones are the ones that puts that shaving edge on your knife.
Oh, yeah, and if you want to go the step further, you can even go to a strop.
Right.
Like the old barbers.
Yep.
I have one at home that on my really nice knives that I use in the kitchen.
Right.
When I'm doing something a little fancier, we put the strop to them.
Right.
But for my deer blade, yeah, I'm going to use something a little harder to get after it and stuff because I want a real stiff, hard blade.
Right. And you want something that's not going to slip out of your hand. It's not a little fillet knife. It's a big, you know, boning knife, if you will, or a hunting knife, right?
Yeah, in the field, it's a hunting knife. Then once it gets hanging and we're going to take the skin off it, then we're going to go to the boning knife.
Right.
Or even to the skin and blade. You get to my knife collection, it's like looking at some people's, you know, hobby shop.
There's right.
A knife for every moment of every situation.
And that skinning blade, if I understand them, they tend to have a little more rounded point because what you're doing is you're going across the animal trying not to cut the meat off, but just separate the hide and the fat from the meat, right?
Correct.
Yep, and you want as much of that fat as you can to stay on the hide, so it needs to be sharp, but it's generally a taller and a thicker blade so that you can control it and see
it's real hardy, and you can actually even scrape with it.
Right, yeah, it's firm, very strong steel, yeah.
But if you got a knife and it needs sharpening, you know, you gotta take the time to sharpen it.
Right.
I mean, maybe a half a football game.
Right.
3-4 beers. Get it in there and figure out that angle.
Right.
A lot of times I tell people that you're going to put your finger behind the back of the blade just to hold the same angle all the time.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be precisely 15 degrees or 22 degrees or anything like that. It has to be consistent.
Right.
Both sides all the time. And now you're going to get that nice, smooth cutting edge.
And you will see, if you're not doing this properly, you will see scratches on the, not where the sharpest part of the blade is, but up the blade a little bit. And that means that you're laying your knife too flat and you're not, the idea is to that same angle is you're drawing an edge on both sides to come to the infinite point. It goes right down to nothing, but you don't want that to be too thin because then it dulls quicker. So there is an angle that's perfect, and every knife comes from the factory with an edge on it, and pretty much you want to stay with that particular angle. And you can see when you're sharpening it what that should be, and you'll know because if you're sharpening and it takes 15 minutes to get any kind of a sharp edge that's tacky with your, and you know, I just touched the blade a little bit with your thumb, and if it's kind of tacky, you know you're getting there, right? And if it takes you that long and you still don't have that, you're using the wrong angle. I mean, from the practical sense.
And the other thing, a lot of people think steels are for sharpening.
Right.
They're not for sharpening, they're for maintaining.
Right.
And that's just a little fine hone, because if you looked at it under a microscope, there's like these little feathered edges on the edge of the knife that are the cutting
right
teeth, essentially, but they're microscopic, and that steel just straightens them out.
Yep.
So a real dull knife, a steel's not going to do you any good. But
right.
When you're working and you start to feel it get a little draggy,
right,
couple strokes on the steel, it just tunes that knife right back up. And if you do it often enough, you can avoid the big, long sharpening session.
Right. It's like anything else that you have, any sporting a piece of equipment or anything, you've got to keep it maintained, right? So coming up next, we use our sharp knife. We get some venison, and Chaz has a really good venison sausage recipe. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktack.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy...
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We just talked a little bit about knives and Laura Schapanek's birthday party, but let's get into something that a lot of our listeners are going to be diving into, and that is a little bit of venison sausage. And Chaz, I've had your venison sausage. It's really, really good. It's a great recipe, and you were nice enough. You said you might want to share a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's nothing real fancy, and I find myself getting ready for camp, and I like some snacks up at camp, and one of the things when we were talking about that, I says, well, the summer sausage, because, you know, you just kind of leave it on the cutting board, and
right,
everybody just whacks off a hunk and maybe get some cheese with it or
right,
whatever.
Yep, good piece of sharp cheddar with a piece of venison
while
sausage,
you're,
crazy
while you're
good.
Just funking around, you know, like on the 14th.
Right.
And, you know, everybody's all ramped up. You got to get all your clothes laid out and everything all
right,
sorted. And everybody's, what'd you buy new this year?
Right.
It's a great little thing to have.
Yep.
And it's real easy. We mix the some venison and some pork. I use 8 pounds and 10 or and 2 pounds to make 10 pounds of meat. And I'll grind that after I've gone through and mixed in the spices.
Okay, so the prepping the venison. Let's take, I'm going to take you down a little rabbit hole. A lot of people say there's a silver skin on some venison, and that is that's a membrane between the skin and the actual muscle. Are you taking taking steps to make sure that's not in your sausage?
When
it doesn't matter.
When I process, I get that out.
Okay.
Okay,
it's chewy, right?
It's chewy. It yeah. I mean, it's not going to kill you.
Right.
But it's not going to be the best presentation, as we like to say.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So I get that. I'll cube up, or if I've got leftover grind, that'll work too.
Right.
Mix in with a little chunky pork. You know, just buy some cheap, chunky stew pork.
Yeah, or pork butt at $2 a pound right now. Yeah.
Whatever you can get for reasonable. And then, you know, you throw in some Morton Tender Quick. You got to put some sugar, some peppercorns. I like a little mustard seed in there.
Oh.
Because that gives you a little snappy crunch once in a while, a little surprise of spice.
Yeah. But the peppercorns are broken down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I like a coffee grinder.
Oh, okay.
To break my peppercorns up.
Yep.
So they don't make dust.
Yeah.
I like a hearty
little crunch in there, and then again, a little pop of pepper.
And if it gets stuck in your tooth, you got a hobby of tonguing that out of there. And obviously, you got to throw some garlic powder in there. And you're going to mix all that up.
Okay.
Now, if you got your smoker, we're going to smoke this when we're done. If you're just doing it in the oven,
okay,
put just a little bit of liquid smoke in there.
Okay.
Okay. That a little bit goes 10 miles.
Right. Very strong, very pungent. And you can overwhelm it, and that'll be all you taste if you use too much of it. And you're talking like a tablespoon or two in 10 pounds of meat.
Most.
Yeah. I mean, it goes a long way. So are you, before we cook this.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw it through the grinder, and I got the sausage stuffer on there.
Okay.
And whether I'm going to run it up in the big 3-inch
right,
casing, or if I'm going to run it like for sticks in a little 3/4-inch stick casing.
Right.
I'm going to run that out through the snout and bam, 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 make up a sausage tube.
Right.
And then I'm going to twist it off, tie it with a piece of, you know, a little cotton
right,
twine there, hunk it off, and now it's going to go to the heat.
Okay.
And we're going to throw it in, you know, smoker temp, 150, 160.
Okay.
And just let it go half a football game.
Right.
Just let it go in there and stuff. And
what are we looking for? What are we looking for a done temperature?
160.
Okay. Yep.
I mean, we've got some spices in there. We got some salt preservative in there. We're pretty safe on the world.
And are you using a natural casing or not?
I like the natural casing because it'll sweat a little of that fat out.
Right.
And
it also lets a little bit of the smoke in.
Lets the smoke in.
If you're using your smoker.
Better than the artificial casing.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I've got a friend that does this in a loaf pan, though.
Okay.
You know, and if you slice it like meatloaf.
Yep.
But we usually do it up in the big logs.
Sure. Well, it travels better. Yeah.
Yeah, you throw it in, you bring it up to camp. Everybody that I hunt with is smart enough to peel the casing off. But it just makes it real easy to handle. And then when you got a half a chunk left over because it's time to go hunt, put a piece of foil over the end, shove it in the fridge. It's
right.
Fine for later.
Or cut up so. Five slices of it, throw it in a baggie, and put it in your pocket, and then you got tree snacks.
Well, right? I got friends that won't even cut it up. They just take the hunk. But it's just a real easy snack.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's really nice to come up to your boys and say, oh, I made this.
Right. And then the other thing is that it's ready to go at any time. And I think that different guys come back in the morning from the morning hunt. Some will wimp out, and they'll be back to the shack by 10. Others are diehards. They might come back at 1 in the afternoon. But there's something there to eat. The first thing you do after you get your clothes off is, me, I crack a beer, and then I'm looking for something to munch on while the rest of the guys, if I'm making lunch or whatever, there just needs to be something.
Well, I'm a dark-to-dark guy.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to be out there about an hour and a half before light, and I'm going to stay a half hour after dark.
Right.
So I've got that hunk in my bag.
Yeah.
So right. That I can have something for lunch right there sitting in the blind, because those nooner deer, they're sneaky.
Yeah, yep, and so are the nooner hunters. So that's pretty cool. Another great thing to pack that we can cover is a Scotch egg. And I was going to do that a little later, but we got a couple minutes, so I'm going to do that. And this is a la Sobey Meats, okay?
Oh, Sobey makes them. Dewey makes great ones.
Right. I use there's a particular kielbasa that Sobey Meats makes. It's called Parkside Kielbasa. And it's in a two. It's cased in a kielbasa casing. But I have them get it to me bulk, and I'll boil up a couple dozen eggs and maybe get like 6 pounds of this kielbasa. Right? And you just take a patty of it, flatten it out, throw that hard-boiled egg in there, and then wrap it up like a baseball. And I mean, just pack it until you can't see the egg anymore and it's covered in sausage. You throw those on the smoker and cook them. No foil or anything. Just lay them on the smoker. Take your smoker up to 250 just so they're going to cook. And all you're doing, obviously the egg is cooked, but all you're doing is cooking that kielbasa on the outside. Right? So then I get them done. You'll know when the sausage is done. It looks like done sausage, right? And it's only maybe a quarter inch thick all the way around that egg. I take them, let them cool, and I wrap them in tin foil just to keep individually. You can grab one of those things when you're at camp, throw it in your pocket, and I would always put it in a pocket on the inner part so it warms up a little bit, because I got to keep them in the fridge to keep them fresh or keep them out where it's cold. But you warm it up just a little bit with your body heat, and then your snack while you're in the tree is just
breakfast, man. I got a tip for you, man. To kick them up just a little notch.
Okay.
Roll that wet egg.
Or wet, know, wet sausage?
No, the wet egg.
Wet egg.
Before you wrap it in the sausage.
Okay.
Mustard powder.
Oh, really?
Then put it in that sausage.
Oh, wow.
And that sausage is just going to, as it cooks, it's going to hydrate that mustard a little bit, and it's going to put that little zing in there.
Wow, great idea. Never done that. I've made thousands of these things, and I've never done anything on the egg.
One of the things I like is stuff, my snacks, to be a little bit zippy.
Right.
Because you're sitting by yourself in the peace and quiet of the woods and enjoying nature and everything.
Yeah.
And your eyelids might start to get a little heavy.
Yeah.
So a little zippy snack, maybe some pepper jack cheese.
Right, yeah.
Keep you alert.
Yeah, right. Wake you up a little bit, but that's cool. Well, anyway, there you go. There's some snacks for the deer camp. We're going to be covering more of those. But coming up next, we've got a guy named Chad Shaw, who is a steelhead extraordinaire. And he's going to give us a little steelhead report. So you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Always fun to have these recipes that you're going to take to camp. Chaz, we've got one of your buddies on the line right now. Why don't you tell us who it is?
Chad Schaub. He runs Schaub Outfitters. He's a fish guy.
Okay.
Believe me, he's a fish guy. If there's fish to be found, Chad finds the fish. And right now it's steelhead season, so he's out in his steelhead boat right now. And he's rocking it away. He's got clients out there. He's probably banging them out right now. Chad, you got one on?
We just another one. Just took a picture of one.
Oh, that's sweet. Cool.
We were taking a picture while you were introducing me. That
sweet. So obviously the fishing's good.
Yep, we've had a good morning so far. I think we hooked six so far in the brown. Started at about 8:15, so.
Wow.
They're biting right now. We are the only boat out, so that makes it nice, too, on the Big Manistee.
Yep. So you're on the Big Man somewhere between the Great Lakes and Houghton Lake, and you're up there just so tell me a little bit about what they're biting on right now.
Right now they're still on the egg bite, still a few spawn and salmon behind or up on the gravel, so we're fishing beads in the dark slots by the gravel bars right now.
Yep.
That's awesome, Chad. Now, when you're doing trips out there, if somebody wants to come out and do a trip, you doing half days and full days still?
There's not quite enough daylight to do both in the same day right now, so mainly just doing full days, you know, but I do offer half days on days that I don't have a full day.
Well, that's cool.
You know, don't quite have that 12 hours of daylight right now.
Now, when the guys come out steelhead fishing, a lot of people haven't been out with you. I know you and I have gone several times. What do they really need to bring?
All they really need to do is dress for the weather. Sunglasses, dress for the weather, and a lunch if they don't want me to provide one.
Yeah, dress warm. I mean, Chad's told me so many stories about these.
You can take layers off, you know. You can't put them on that you don't have.
Right.
People, that princesses that come out in their skinny jeans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That don't fly. And yeah, Chad's...
It's not blue jean and hoodie weather right now. It's... You know, a little more than that right now.
Yeah, we're almost up to the ice suits.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Chad, tell me a little bit about what I need to know. You said, do I need a fishing license when I show up?
I think I do. Yeah, the fishing license. Yep. But they sell a one-day $10 license, so it's not not bad at all.
And you can buy that online.
And clothes and food.
Yeah, all right. And so if I can, what do I expect to, on a day trip like you're doing today, when would I expect to get there? And how long would we be on the river and all of that?
I'm usually doing 8 to 4 unless, you know, need to start later with weather or just request to start later. But 8 to 4, 8-hour day is what I'm doing. And, you know, right now I'm rowing, chasing the bobbers, you know, not even anchoring. We're just throwing out, chasing the floats with the boat.
Yep. Yep. So is that you got two clients in the boat with you?
Yep, I got two guys in here with me right now.
Yep, perfect. So this is something that you can do with one of your best buddies, a father, son, whatever.
Yep.
And if a guy doesn't know much about steelhead fishing, you've got all the equipment, right?
Oh, yeah, everything's provided.
Right, and you teach them how to use it.
Yeah.
Oh, Chad coaches them right through every step of it.
Yeah.
He's going to set throw the first line for you and then teach you how to do it.
Yeah.
He's going to give you advice the entire time, and he's navigating the
boat. I try to keep it real simple, real, you know. Bobber goes down, jerk.
So, yeah. So, hey, Chad, what's a trip costing these days? What's the average run on a day trip?
I'm $450 for 8 hours for two guys, and then I do the third person for another $100.
What a deal.
Yeah.
Are you
yeah.
kidding me? A guy that'll take you down the river, give you all the equipment, put you on fish, and feed you lunch? And, oh, my goodness, what a
deal.
Well,
lunch is extra.
Well, so what?
Yeah, another $50 for food. So
well,
$500
fair
for
enough.
Food.
Fair enough. That $50 doesn't go far in food. You're giving them a great deal.
Yeah, so. that's New York strips or Delmonico's and vegetable and potato salad, garlic toast and dessert.
On the river, on the side of the river, too. Come on, guys.
Yep,
that's like the best Christmas gift that you could give any man or your father-son combination. Holy cow.
That is it's a great trip. And Chad and I we had 1 year where we didn't have a place to hunt. And so instead of deer hunting, we went steelhead fishing.
Well, imagine that. That couldn't have been any fun.
And we really tuned it up that day because we were near a construction site, we'll say downtown Grand Rapids, and we had a friend that was working the construction site, so he had the overhead view spotting for us.
Oh, okay.
That was a fun day.
Oh, yeah, man. You and Steph,
we had a blast that year because we kind of got screwed out of our hunting spot, and so we made the best of it.
Sure.
And we were able to bring back some steelhead
instead of buck deer.
Yeah, right. So, Chad, tell me about steelhead. You catch a lot of them. Is most of it catch and release? Are you keeping a few, or how's that work?
No. I try to just, you know, one a person unless they, you know, really want to keep some. But I don't mind killing a few fish, you know.
Right.
Let some people take some fish home to eat.
So do you enjoy eating it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't eat a lot. We do a lot of ice fishing, so I do a lot of bluegills.
Right.
But I do eat one here and there.
So what is your favorite steelhead way to prepare one?
Usually Steph grilling it.
Okay, there you go. That's that's where I was going with that, is you got a buddy that does it for you. You teach him how to catch them. Somebody else can cook them. There you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good. Steph likes to grill them up for us.
Steph likes to cook for us.
Yeah,
that's cool. Great. But I'll tell you, putting one on the smoker ain't bad at all.
Oh, yeah, smoked steelhead is hard to beat, too.
And that salmon. You can
there's
do
a few
a ton
cohos around too. We caught a few of them yesterday. They're still in good shape too. So
that's great.
Yeah,
the salmon are whitetails right now, and not the deer variety.
Right.
So
yep. And when they're that way, they're approaching death. Right.
Up.
Yeah. You just let those. If you hook one, you let them back because those aren't good to eat.
No. My guys yesterday went for the grand slam. You know.
Yeah.
Salmon, both salmon species, steelhead and brown.
Right,
nice.
Clark.
Yep. Are you catching good sized browns? Those are one of my favorite species to go after. I just think they're so cunning and hard to catch. So
yeah, we got a probably pushing 5-pounder yesterday.
Wow.
We got
that's a nice
what
brown.
Was yours, Dean? Like maybe 16, 18 inches this morning. Yep.
Yeah, those are nice
that
browns.
Bubble line out there.
Yeah,
perfect.
Very good.
So Chad. Yep. How does anybody get a hold of you if they want to book a trip?
You can text me or Facebook message me, but my number is 616-799-4375. Or I have a website too at Shot Outfitters.
Oh, there you go. Everybody can get on that one too. And
yeah.
And do you keep a calendar on there or what's available, or we just reach out and call you?
The available dates are on there. When you go to try to book, it'll block out the days that aren't available.
All right. And how long do you do this? I mean, is this a year-round gig, or are you about done? What's that look like?
No. I mean, the steel, it'll be here till early May. So.
Right.
And Chad will fish them right until the boat, until we can walk on water.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Chad and I are going to switch to ice.
Too.
Yeah.
You get a couple nice days in the winter, it is good fishing.
Yeah, right.
And there's a lot less people.
Right, and a nice day is what?
The water's...
Low to mid-30s.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. The sun's out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sun's out. Bobber's out. There you go.
Yep.
That's a good thing. So. All right. Well, Chad, hey, thanks for making time for us, brother. And I am going to get on the nose of that boat one of these days. Chaz
Sounds
and I will
good.
Come out and get her done. So okay, I'm looking forward to
we'll
it.
We'll see you then.
All right, man.
All right. Thanks, Chad.
Yep.
Thanks. Bye.
Hey, I'll tell you, I've fished with Chad for 20 years and hunted with him and everything else. And he just gets after it.
Yeah.
Our buddy Steph grew up with him and a couple of our other buddies, and they live north of town. Now Chad lives up towards Ludington, and he fishes.
Right. Well, that big man is an incredible fishery.
Well, he does the PM too. Yep. He'll do the Muskegon. We've done the Grand a number of times, and depending on the time of the year and where they're biting, Chad knows, because right. he's in tune with, 10 other boats.
Right. Well, and those charter captain, they're tight. I mean, there's not everybody can get that charter license on those rivers. So, you know, they all know each other, and they respect each other, right? That's the cool part. There's an honor among captains on
that
river.
They even help each other out, because if you had six guys,
right,
Chad's going to make sure that there's a second boat
right
scheduled to be on the same program as you guys. So you're within yelling distance.
Yeah.
Bragging distance, yeah. I like to say.
All right. Well, there he was. Chad Schaub, 616-799-4375. Give him a call. Schaub Outfitters. But coming up next, we're going to get back to the camp food. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
30-point buck. 30-point buck. Well, he was 8 foot tall, weighed 12,000 pounds. With every step, there was
the Grilling Guy.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. That's really interesting to talk to Chad, a steelhead.
Yeah,
charter captain.
Getting on the fish, man. I've known Chad a long time. I've hunted and fished with him. You know, he's even on USA Ice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we haven't even talked about that. We'll have to cover that too.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that he's actually one of our guys that has meddled overseas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he's a big deal. And he's got a very supportive wife that lets him fish and hunt all year round.
Right.
And he's turned it into a career.
Oh, really?
And
nice.
So
yeah.
His guiding, and he does a little bit of ice guiding, but not too much.
But the river stuff
is huge.
The
river stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, the salmon and even bass in the summer.
Right.
He'll take you out for smallies, and he puts you on fish.
Right. He knows where they are, and he knows how to catch them.
He is a chaser.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. Well, speaking about chasing, there's a lot of sportsmen out in the woods and on the water this time of year that are chasing a lot of things. And one of the things that gets chased is ducks. And I've gotten more involved with the Ducks Unlimited guys. And guys that hunt ducks know how to cook ducks, but pretty much everybody else, it's almost like, oh, God, I don't even know what I'm doing. So I want to talk a little bit about a duck breast. And you say it's a mallard, okay? That is the biggest muscle on the bird. It is highly used. It drives the wings, and it can be tough. So a lot of people will pluck a duck, but most of the guys I see, I've got a duck breast. It's really dark meat, and what are we going to do with this? And it's super, super lean.
Yeah, they just flip them and rip them.
Right, yep. So the issue there is that how do I cook this thing without drying it out, okay?
Same problem with Ben.
Right, and if I'm going to go to the smoker with this one, I've got to brine that piece of duck meat. And brine is a sugar, water,
salt
type combination.
And herbs
right.
Because you have an opportunity to impart some real creative flavors in
right.
there.
Yep.
And exactly. Brining is where that happens.
Right. And you can brine too long. So, you know, you can look up the specifications for how much meat you've got in the water and stuff, but I'm going to brine for 6 hours, maybe a duck breast. And that's not a big process. You can stick it in any kind of a vessel. I'd stay away from metal. I just go with a plastic or glass. I've got brining buckets.
Oh, that, I do too.
That are 5 gallon buckets, and they got like a little lid that you push down so you keep the meat under the water, and you give it a quarter turn, it kind of locks it down there.
Now, do you cold brine or warm brine?
I cold brine. I
do too.
Yep. I prefer to cold brine. You can warm, but I don't like how things get partially cooked and the texture of the meat gets a little softer when it's warm. And it stays firm when it's cool. I want all my heat coming from my smoker and not from
the
brine.
You know that little lid, or if you just take a plate to hold the
same
meat
thing.
Submerged?
Yep.
Put the ice on top.
Yeah.
Keeps it down.
Yeah, right. Keeps the lid
even
down.
Even if you're just in a small container in the fridge.
Yep.
Put some ice on top.
Yep. And it'll hold that plate down and hold everything under the brine.
And as the ice melts, it's going to dilute the brine a little bit, and that's not a bad thing.
Right, right.
Because we're trying to get moisture and flavor into this thing.
Right.
And then we're going to bring it out. I pat them dry.
Yeah, so do I. You don't need to rinse them. You don't want to do that. But just take it out and put it on a plate, pat it dry with a little paper towel, and then I let it set there for a few minutes to an hour, and right at room temperature, because you're going to cook it anyway. You don't need to worry about the bacteria. The brining has helped with that. And then you're going to cook it and kill any bacteria you got anyway. But it still could be dry. Try smoking it low and slow. Don't go high, because you want to get it cooked all the way through. And again, I'm looking for that 160, 165.
I'd actually go a little lower than that.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it is duck meat.
It's super, super lean.
Right. Yep.
Because I know we do goose.
Oh, yeah.
And same thing, but that 145, 150 is like where we try and stay with that,
yeah.
Because I know it's going to coast.
Right.
I'm going to bring it out of the smoker. I'm going to throw it down on the board, and whether I package it or whatever, it's going to coast a little bit.
Right. This is something that once it's smoked, you can put it in the refrigerator, and I put it in a Ziploc bag or, you know, Tupperware, whatever it is. This will travel, and this will hold for a few days as long as you keep it cold. Another great item to throw on the board.
And you grab that really nice slicing knife. The one that'll cut stuff thin.
Right.
And you make these 16th or thinner slices of that.
Right.
And you serve that with some good cheese that you've sliced thin as well.
Right.
Maybe a nice whole wheat cracker. Yep. Oh, man.
Yeah. And that is a woodsman's treat. I mean, you know, you harvested a duck, you took time to brine it and smoke it, and now you're eating it at hunting camp. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, you're sharing it with the guys, man.
Right, yeah. And, you know, generally, you're out, you get more than one duck, right? So and they're small, right? The breasts are small, so doing a half a dozen of them at a time, is you got room on your smoker if you got any kind of smoker at all.
Yeah, and the brine bucket, you know, you got to 4-quart bind,
right?
You're done.
Right, exactly. So anyway, another great thing to take to camp. I do these little muffin tin things that I mix eggs and sausage in almost like a scrambled egg and cheese, and put them in a muffin tin. I don't put the paper in there, right? But just that solution, and level them right off on a muffin tin, and put those in and bake them. Right, and you can put peppers in there. You can put onions in there, but it's eggs and cheese, right?
Now, do you just put the muffin tin in the oven just dry, or do you put it in the bigger baking dish with water in it?
I've not used water, but to your point, I usually take some like Pam or butter spray or something and hit that muffin tin, even though they're nonstick.
Yeah,
it's an egg and it's cheese, and it's gonna stick. Right, but if you put a little bit of that in there, it'll pop out easier. The whole idea is you're making pre-made breakfast,
yep.
Right? And there again, once they're cooked, they're going to keep for a few days. And you can wrap them up individually, put two or three of them in a tin foil, or put them in a Ziploc, right? It doesn't matter. But again, all we're trying to do is the camps that I've been to, and Bob was here, he'd be laughing at me because I haven't been in a few years. But the camps I've been to, I want pre-made food when the guys get back in, just to tide them over until we get the meal done, right?
We do that, and also it makes great pocket food.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're walking out, you're going to hit the blind, and you've essentially got that first hour in the dark.
Right.
When you thought you heard something.
Right. Think you can see movement and you rub your eyes and then
you're squinting so hard.
Yeah.
But to have that, those muffins or scotch eggs in your pocket, even cornbread muffins.
Right.
Just having those and, you know, they can be a few days old, a little crunchy.
Yeah.
They're fine.
Texture's
man.
Good. Yeah.
You know, I remember in True Grit when John Wayne was eating them corn dodgers that were hard as a rock.
Yeah.
It's just a little pocket food. And to get you by in the blind while you're waiting for that score of venison to come by.
Yeah, right? That's cool.
Now, one of the tricks I do with the camp food is I love to make up my chili, and I make it about halfway.
Okay. You mean cooked halfway or
cooked
just ingredients halfway?
I brown up the meat and everything, dump the, you know, I like beans, so I put the beans in, put the sauce in, all that kind of stuff, ingredients. I know I don't need to tune this thing. I've made it so many times.
Right.
And I put it in that big travel crock pot, the one with the lid that snaps down.
Right.
It sits in the pickup truck out there in the snow.
Right.
Until the day we need it.
Right.
And then I bring it in that morning, and I set it on the counter at camp, and I plug her in the wall, and I turn her to low, because we're high tech. We got electricity at our camp.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And not like Bob in a tent.
Right, yeah, and heat. And, you know, I think Bob's cheating a little bit, because I asked him about that. He asked me to go with him, and I'm like, Bob, I'm too old to sleep in a tent with no heat when it's going to be 25 degrees out. That's not what I'm – because I got to get up and pee at night, and that's painful. If you're out of a warm sack into the nature, yeah, not do that. But anyway, he's like, well, no, I'm staying in a camp, and we've got heat. And I'm like, oh, you finally saw the light.
Yeah, well, I figured out if you put that crock pot on low.
Yeah.
When everybody comes in the end of the day, you know. You know, 12 hours later or 10 hours later.
Right.
It's done.
Right.
It's ready to go. I mean, it's clear the table, break out the bowls.
Right, yep. Get a loaf of bread out and you're good to go. That's the thing is that, like I said, men are hungry. Well, ladies too, when they come back in from camp. But anyway.
It's all in the preparation.
It is. That's all it is.
And prepping for camp can be as much fun as going.
Yeah, and guess what? You'll make a little extra and have some good stuff to eat at that time too when you're doing it. Yep. All right, well, hey, we appreciate you tuning in to the Grilling Guys. Chaz, always good to have you sit in with me. Appreciate you making time. Barbecue Bob is out enjoying nature, and that's cool too. But
hope he sticks one.
Yeah, I hope he does too. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you next week.